good evening. I'm Stephen Salinger with Berkeley. And I want to thank you for coming out this evening. This is our fifth in what will be 11 or 12 public forums, community outreach. The purpose of this is really to share with you what our proposal, Earthlink and Google's proposal to the city is to build and deploy a high-speed wireless network. And then we'll take questions from you. It's a short presentation, about 15 minutes. And then we'll take questions from you. We want to answer any of your questions, address any concerns you may have. I just want to say personally, I'm really happy to come back to the Sunset. I was actually born on the 33rd and went to Lawton Elementary School. So I showed up an hour and a half early in a car, just drove around, and lots of memories came back. I don't know if any of you remember Playland, but that was always the highlight when I was a kid going out to Playland. So it's wonderful to be back here, and thank you for showing up this evening. I'd like to introduce now Chris Wright. He's from Google, and he will actually lead the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, so as Steven said, my name is Chris Wright, and I work for Google down in Mountain View. So I've been pretty involved with the Wi-Fi project at Mountain View. As many of you may have heard, Mountain View became unwired right around June, and then in July we invited people. In August we invited a few more people. And now the network is open to anybody who wants to get online for free down there in Mountain View. So we have a little bit of experience with this. What my role has typically been is to lead like community trainings like this. So in Mountain View, we'll invite hundreds of community members in, answer questions, everything from what is a web browser to, you know, is my traffic encrypted and what are my security concerns. So as Steven said, I'll run through these slides. We'll kind of hold off for the end for questions. I'm going to try and hit every question that you might have during the presentation. And then at the end, if there are outstanding questions, I'll be happy to field those as well. So our first slide says, why are we here? Kind of as Steven mentioned, we're just going to tell you about the proposal. I'd really like to set expectations of what Wi-Fi is, how is it going to work, quite literally, what are the steps that we'll need to take in order to bring this to the city, and what you as a resident or a small business owner is going to need to access the network. And then we want to hear your thoughts and ideas and tell you where we're at in this whole process. All right, so on our first slide here, what we're building is an easily accessible, free, low-cost outdoor network. This first bullet point is kind of key. The key word in that is that it's an outdoor network. So the way that Wi-Fi is brought to municipal cities, like Anaheim has one, Pittsburgh has one, and in Mountain Views, we get a contract with the city government to hang up a node, a Wi-Fi transmitter, on a light post. So we go along on all these light posts and we hang up nodes, and I have a picture, I think, on the next slide here. So it's an outdoor network. What that node does is just propagate the signal around it, so it's just omnidirectional, and it's communicating with other nodes down the block. And we'll discuss more of the ways that you would be able to access the network from indoors, because we want this to be usable for you when you're outside, when you're inside, wherever you are, and so we'll be able to discuss those questions. So this is a picture of our node. You can kind of see it here. It looks like a shoebox, and then there's a couple of little antennas that come out the top. On the right side, I know it's really small, but there is one sitting on top of that light pole, and these are both pictures from Mountain View. So what our PowerPoint says is that each radio communicates wirelessly with the neighboring radios. If you were to go to a Starbucks right now, or any of those coffee shops that do the Wi-Fi, they have a hardline, you know, internet coming right into, an AP, an access point, and then it propagates the signal around Starbucks. Why this is so interesting is that we're creating a Wi-Fi mesh network just with electricity. So these nodes, you just plug them into the top of the pole. You're not running internet up through the pole or anything. And that makes it really easy to do. So down in Mountain View, kind of one of the jokes that our team will say, they'll say that, you know, evaluating whether or not it will work in the area is 10 times more time-consuming than actually hanging the node. They just go up in a bucket truck, they sit it up there, and it's up in about 10 minutes. So that's what's pretty exciting about this, is we're able to hang these nodes so rapidly and test them really quickly as well. So it's very efficient compared to the traditional way of internet, which is running internet or fiber into a building. So those nodes, those small little shoebox radios, that's the smallest level of the mesh network. And then there's a middle level. And that middle level, this is what the antenna looks like. They're made by a company called Alverion. And basically, for every three or four of those nodes, we're going to have one directional antenna. So this antenna is sitting up here on a pole. It looks like a diamond. And that's shooting a direct line of sight to a base station. And we'll have multiple base stations around the city. In Mountain View right now, we have 3 base stations. So I'm not sure exactly how many we'll have in San Francisco, but you basically keep adding base stations as you need them. And so you can kind of think of it as 3 levels. There's, you know, the shoebox, the smaller level, and this would be the middle one, and then the base station is exactly where the internet is. So once you reach the base station, then you're online. So in terms of accessing the internet, you'd be out there with like a Wi-Fi enabled device, either a laptop computer or maybe a phone. Some cell phones can go over the internet. It's going to be communicating to this radio, and then those are all interacting with each other. And the technology is such that it's telling the right path to find a base station. So if you imagine that the base station is up here, it's going to just route its way back. And it could be through 2, it could be through 3, or maybe 1. But the signal is just finding its way home, basically, so that that connection can be made. So it's kind of interesting. So here we have a map of the city. And I'll just read through these bullet points just to give you an idea of what types of things you can do with the internet. I think our first one says, a man in Chinatown Park uses the internet to call his mom from Hong Kong. So some of the new emerging technologies is called voice over IP. And being at Google, it's really fun because they send us these devices when they develop them. So this one, Sony made this one, and it's called the Milo. I don't think these are on the market yet, but they're gonna hit the market soon. You can kind of flip it up, and it's got a little keypad. The only reason that I point this out is that this works just like a cell phone, only it's through the internet. So if you were to have this device and you have a free internet network, now you can make a long-distance call free of charge because now you're communicating throughout this mesh network. Now, there are some limitations, right? It's all outdoors, so you would have to kind of reconfigure a home network to propagate the signal indoors. But this is just an example of some of the emerging technologies that I think we'll see in the next 2 to 5 to even 10 years that are just going to be really common. The second example, a young woman downloads music in Golden Gate Park. A woman uses her PDA to check the Muni schedule outside of a cafe in the Mission. And then our last one, a family in Sunset pays their utility bill online. So those are pretty typical uses of the internet right now, paying a utility bill, downloading music, searching for information. This is a landing page, and it's an example of the landing page that we have in Mountain View. So I'll first kind of go through what this really is, and then we can kind of talk about the individual modules that are on it. This entire page here is very customizable. So what we did in Mountain View is designed a map, and this is a map of Mountain View. And different businesses can kind of say, hey, here I am on this Google map. So if I'm a video rental store or a dentist or a doctor or anything, I'm able to put a posting right here for people to find me. The other thing that's neat is these little modules can be added or deleted. So maybe Steven really likes the Shoreline Amphitheater, which is over here, and he likes the new concerts. He can have that on his page. If I don't like it, I can just delete it, and I can put on here the high school. So the high school students created a module, and it's just like their calendar. So as new events get added, then it's automatically updated. This is the page that we used in Mountain View, and it's a page that we're hoping to use in San Francisco as well. Typically, the internet, when you log online or I go to like Amazon or eBay or any of these places, it's kind of the same experience for all types of users. For the most part, those places don't really know where I'm coming from unless I've told them. They don't really know my geographic location. And this can become a benefit in terms of location-based services. What if there is a dentist that's trying to communicate? Maybe there is a neighborhood watch program that wants to reach all of its members more efficiently. It's pretty much the sky's the limit, and this is some of the stuff that we are experimenting with down in Mountain View, and that's been pretty exciting. All right, so now we have a slide on our network and our network reaching every person in the city. On the left-hand side, we have Earthlink and Google will hold training sessions across the city. Number 2, we'll partner with local vendors and user groups to provide technical support right in your neighborhood. One question that's really come up a lot through all of these community trainings is, what kind of support will there be? And what will happen if somebody's never been able to get online before? How are they going to get their questions answered? Is there going to be email or phone support? I can tell you what we did in Mountain View that worked really well. We have a couple vendors that are selling these devices. And this is one of the devices that you would use to access the signal indoors. So a Wi-Fi signal gets blocked pretty easily by walls, especially concrete, I guess, I'd say metal. Through open windows, it might come in, it might not be really strong. But it's difficult for a laptop computer to receive that signal and then send it back to the node. So our node lives out on the street. It's down the block. It's on top of a light. And a little laptop computer like this is really going to struggle to push that out so that the node can see it. So what this device does is you would just put it maybe in a windowsill or in your front room, somewhere that's kind of close to an outer wall, and it receives the signal, and then in the back you have an Ethernet jack. So that's just a standard Ethernet out cable that you would use right now if you had SBC or Comcast. So if you had a desktop computer, like an older desktop computer, it's not Wi-Fi enabled, you would just plug in this Ethernet cable and then get online. So there's a couple ways that you could get this. And what San Francisco's model is going to be is that Earthlink will give you one of these with a paid level of service. So for around $20 a month, Earthlink subsidizes this and says, here, this is yours. You get all of Earthlink's great customer support, and you can now access indoors, and there is that fee. Or if residents want, they could purchase these. Right now, I believe this one is around $100 to $130, and there's different levels. There's some that go up into $300, and then there's others that are down in the $30 to $50 range. And that's where Google's been pretty proactive in the last couple months, I'd say. This is another example of one, and pardon me, I didn't really assemble this, but I do want to show you the antenna. This is a new company that was just started by some guys in MIT. And so they came to us just because municipal Wi-Fi networks have become increasingly popular. And it kind of looks like a baby monitor. It's kind of a funny little device. It does require a power supply. So you put power supply in and plug it into your wall. But then if one person puts this on their window, then it's going to communicate with maybe another unit behind them or another unit. So it's kind of that idea of WiMAX, where one receives it and then retransmits in the room, and they just keep on communicating. And we're experimenting with these right now. And they've been working pretty well. We've done one location down in Mountain View at like a government-subsidized housing complex where we've just given these away for free. And then we're going to do another one this Thursday as well. And things have been going really well so far, but we're still experimenting with that technology as well. So what we're really hoping is that those Wi-Fi modems, that device that allows you to get online, is just going to become cheaper, especially with more of the RFPs that are out right now and as people build more Wi-Fi networks. So getting back to my point, I got a little bit sidetracked, but in terms of like the customer support and trying to service everyone, it's really worked well to get these local vendors involved. So what I did is I went out and kind of, I didn't really ignore the Best Buys of the world, but it was fun to find little kind of mom and pop type shops and say, hey, would you be willing to do this? And some of them were just super enthusiastic about it. And so it's fun to just set them off and they kind of set up their own businesses. And I just see that as probably easier in San Francisco. I live over in the Mission District, and I can just walk down the street and say, oh, here's a computer guy, and it's kind of every other block. So it's fun for us to be able to train them, and then they're incorporating the community more as well. And then Earthlink is handling the customer support. Google's been doing a lot of trainings in Mountain View, and we want to keep doing that up here as well, because it's been fun. So we work with Stanford. I've worked with a couple of high school students, taught them the general ideas. They've brought it into their classrooms. We did one where they went to a senior center, and that was a lot of fun. Someone in the room stood up and left at the beginning of the presentation because she heard wireless, and she thought, well, my computer has a wire, and we couldn't get her to stay. So that was one of the challenges. So it's all different levels of people's experience. Oh, did I miss
that?
Oh, the right-hand side. You always catch me on it. Our right-hand side says Google speaks 109 languages and counting. So we want to provide multilingual community content and training as well. So on that page that you saw that was completely customizable, you could do that in 109 languages. You could create a customized landing page that's just in Tagalog, which we just found out, I guess, 10% of the community speaks, and I had no idea. So it is very bilingual and just multilingual community that we're able to, I mean, especially in San Francisco, because there are so many different. So our next one, and this is kind of delving more into that idea of opportunities for neighborhoods. On the left side, we say it's free and affordable access, which is good for business, good for customers. Down in Mountain View, mechanics have been really excited about this service because now when they say, hey, would you like to wait? They can say, would you like to wait and just get online? And some of them have bought computers, and then people just kind of sit down and check their email while they're waiting for an oil change. So there's a lot of different ideas of accessing the internet that haven't really been too common in the past. Dentist offices, just anywhere where there's a waiting room right now, we're trying to hit them and say, hey, you know what, we want to get the signal here and we want people to be able to access it. On our right-hand side, we have new ways to promote your business. I like to think of the library that down in Mountain View. Like on their website, you can go to their website, you can kind of search through these different genres of books, and you can try to find what's the newest release in this genre or the newest DVDs. But it'd be really nice if we could create a module to just place on my landing page and it just continually updates all of the newest either action DVDs or classical music, whatever I tell it to. And we haven't done that yet, but that's on my to-do list. So there's a lot of interesting things you can do. One of our engineers came up with the idea of a community chalkboard. So let's pretend you're in the Mission District and you just say, I live within this small radius. You sign in with your account, and then anybody that wants to say something can just kind of write there and say, oh, garage sale at 16th and Mission, come and stop by. And those types of services would be opt-in. You'd have to opt-in and say, hey, here's where I am. Now you do know my location. You can show me this content. That landing page remembers you if you want to. So as you make changes, it says, oh, I remember you did this. And if you don't want to use it, you don't have to. That was one thing that was important for Google in Mountain View, was to create a network that really didn't have any restrictions. So anybody can use it. It's not a secure network. You have to take precautions to make it secure, but it's out there and it's free and accessible. So on the left side, I've kind of alluded to this already. This is outlining the actual plan. The free service by Google Wi-Fi. So the speed here is 300 kilobits per second up and down. I would compare that, it's faster than dial-up. So what I would say is if anybody's using dial-up right now where you're actually using a phone modem, this will be obviously faster. If you start comparing it to DSL or to broadband, it may not be quite as fast. It might be comparable to your DSL depending on your service provider. You may or you may not notice. But it's not going to be blazingly fast if you have a broadband internet service provider like Comcast or something. And then on the right side, 1 meg, about $20 per month, and then that would be through Earthlink. So that would be pretty standard service agreement where you would sign something, you would sign up, you'd have a username and a login and a password. So there's kind of two different networks that we have right now. And the free one, you do need a Google account to use, and that basically is just ensuring you're a human being, because otherwise people could set up bots or robots or machines to just continually do things. So we do say, hey, put in an email address and a password, and that's all you need. You don't need an address, or there's no billing information. Any questions about, I guess, the network itself or the terms of service that we're proposing? Yes?
And what's the difference with people paying for the DSL?
What people would be paying for, like, the Earthlink option?
Yeah.
It's just speed. It's faster, and you get more customer support. So some people really require a faster connection, the page to load right in front of them. If you're streaming music or trying to get videos, you would notice that this is, well, I guess it'd be just a little bit more than three times as fast. Yes?
Are you going to be on every lamppost?
Oh, are we going to be on every lamppost? The answer is no. So these radios, depending on where we are, they'll have to be, I mean, in Mountain View, it's almost, oh, I want to say, maybe 300 to 700 feet, somewhere in that neck of the woods. But it's certainly not every. And I don't know, have you seen any comments?
It also depends on the topology, sending nodes and the voltage. Well, typically we deploy about 30 nodes per square mile, and I think in San Francisco probably closer to 40.
It looks relatively small, except for the booster box, or you said one for every three or four, there's...
Oh, yeah, the taller one?
Mm-hmm. If you're a homeowner, are you going to contact the homeowner if that's sitting in front of their house?
Well, it'd be on a lamppost. So I guess if you were up on like a second floor window and it was right in front of your house, no, I don't think we'd probably contact.
That would be a radio signal.
It would. It's at 1 watt, which is, what I'm told, is 1/400th that of a cell phone. So 1 watt is governed by the FCC. Cell phones usually broadcast it at far greater than that because they're in a paid spectrum area, and this is the free Wi-Fi area. So in terms of would it ever potentially be harmful, the answer is no. In terms of how frequently those are going to be, if it's 30 or 40 per square mile, then you would just divide that by three. Maybe there's 10 to a dozen of those gateway antennas. What we did in Mountain View, if somebody really doesn't want it there, great, we'll move it. The way that this works is it doesn't absolutely have to be in a single location. So if there's a group of residents and they say, you know, I have this enormous picture of the Bay Bridge, and now there's this thing right in front of me, then I think we'd be very flexible in moving it. That's the way we've been. Yes.
Sorry. Just to follow up, is there a way that the resident would be able to contact Google? I mean, is there going to be a contact?
There is. So is there going to be a way to contact Google? We have an email address that you can give at the end, and then you'd just be writing into the customer support team and be able to reach us and say, hey, we noticed this was going up.
Is there a human that somebody responds? Like, for instance, Yahoo's very hard to deal with sometimes because it's just sometimes automated responses. Is there, mm-hmm. they actually
There's not a phone line. So Google's not going to do phone service. The paid service by Earthlink would have a phone number. So, and I think that'd be the same number, I guess.
We're going to have a general manager for the city, the primary point of contact for the citizens and for the municipality. Working with the city, neighborhood associations, working through the deployment and ongoing afterwards for the operation.
And will that be
announced
to the
person? Yeah. That depends. So we won the RFP, but what we really wanted was the right to negotiate a contract with the city that ultimately is approved by the Board of Supervisors. So assuming all this happens and there are no hurdles or delays, and assuming we are awarded the contract is approved, that would be, you imagine, in January. Next year's meeting.
And
you've
mentioned.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so the question, when would we actually get started? Right now that RFP is out, and so we need to come up with the contract as soon as that's approved. It's maybe 12 months that we start building the network.
Yeah.
So a lot of it depends.
Actually, the next slide.
I think, yeah, we do have a slide that kind of outlines that more. But, yeah, there were some more questions on this one.
Yeah, where would I be at? Like, I'm hooked up to Earthlink right now with DSL and a wireless network also. So what would be the change in my situation being that right now I don't know what I'm paying. I'm paying like $69 a month or whatever for DSL.
You are?
So I don't know. So where would I be in that point?
Where you'd be is you would have the option. If you want to keep exactly what you have, then great, you could do that. This would be another thing that you could try out. And Stephen was saying they're still kind of negotiating any type of special deal for existing Earthlink customers. I'm sure that they would probably be reaching out and saying, hey, here is this new terms of service that you want.
So would I be losing all my Earthlink emails? And
no. You'd be able to migrate to your email to a wireless network. I mean, you'd rather give up your DSL if you wanted to, and migrate to the wireless service. It would be available, of course, from home. The benefit of this course is, of course, that you can access the network from home, from your office, from a coffee shop.
Sure.
And you can give up, if you wanted to give up your DSL account, and get migrated using over to the wireless network.
You wouldn't lose it.
Or, if you might want to keep your DSL account, you would buy this as a supplement.
Yes, sir.
I use AT&T DSL with Yahoo email.
Okay.
Well, I have to change my email.
With Yahoo Mail, I'm assuming that that's the free Yahoo Mail,
yes.
Right? So you can access that anywhere right now, correct? Like if you go to the public library, if you use a friend's computer. So that wouldn't change. That's the exact same experience. The only time that you could run into problems with email is if you're using an email service that's given by your internet service provider. So, like SBC gives email, I think the Comcast does. In terms of Yahoo Mail or Gmail or Hotmail or any of those free ones, it wouldn't make a difference because it's just like accessing the standard internet. Sir?
Including out of the screen right now, if I pay $20 a month, it's still the same service. It'll still come into my home the same way.
Correct.
So how is the service 3 times faster than
the reason it's 3 times faster is we're actually able to put a cap on the level of service for the free set. So each of these networks will likely have a different name or a different SSID. So what we just tell the computer is, I mean, we just say, hey, we want to limit this one to 300. So even though it's possible to go faster, you wouldn't be able to. And that's just so everyone can access it because it is a shared bandwidth. So you'd be paying to basically have that restriction lifted, and then it'd be replaced up at the 1 meg.
What is the bandwidth in current DSL
service? It's best efforts up to 1.5 megs. However, that really depends on the phone line. It's rare that we actually get 1.5. It's 700 megs.
Yeah, my DSL was more like 650. So DSL kind of varies too. I mean, this is pretty comparable to DSL if you're able to get the 1 meg. It's something that you'd probably want to try though, because maybe there's an enormous tree in your way, and it could be that the 1 meg service is capped at 800 or 700. So you'd probably want to try it. Yes, sir.
Are we still able to access Skype if we're hooked up to them?
Yeah, the internet would function the exact same way. So any types of services that you have where you're actively logging in with any username, that'd be the exact same. It would just be the email that you'd have to maybe get transition. Yes, sir.
Hi, Dr. Actually, what you're doing to Skype, like 300
I've tried, so the question is, will Skype work at 300? I think if you were getting 300, it will kind of work.
What is Skype?
Oh, I'm sorry. So Skype is a voiceover IP service. So Skype is talking through a phone. And it's, so it's basically like you log into Skype, maybe I have a cell phone that's Wi-Fi enabled, and then I'm able to use it. I have never tried Skype at a connection that's been capped at 300. I've seen it work, and I think their website claims that it'll work at less than that. We haven't tested it. And you may know, I mean, one of you two may know the answer to that, or no. So I'm not exactly sure.
Well, also, if you should look into Skype if you do anything international, because we have people in Japan, in Connecticut, in San Francisco, that all log on, and if you're a Skype member, it's for free. And all you have to do is get a small video camera for your computer, and your video online for free anywhere you want to call.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we were showing earlier. It's like, okay, so Skype could feasibly be working over this phone. What typically happens when your connection speed slows down and you're using Skype is there's more of a delay with the other party. So you could be kind of talking, and maybe there's a 2 or 3 second that you're kind of waiting for them. And as that connection drops, then you're just losing more of the packets, so more little bits of information. And so it sounds a little bit fuzzier, or it gets a little bit slower. I think it would work at 300, and I think it'd be clear. If it was less than that, though, I don't think that it would. And that's, to be honest, not an exact answer. Let's look at another slide. So this came up earlier, where we are in the process, and it's pretty kind of small print up here, but it's just outlining what steps we've taken so far. So back in August of, I think, 2005, the city said, hey, give us some information. So this was the RFI. Google and about 26 other companies responded, gave the city information. And then in December, they said, give us proposals. So that was when the RFP went out. And that's when Google teamed up with Earthlink and said, hey, we'll come up with this proposal together and submit it to the city. And there were 6 others as well, so 6 other companies, I think a total of 7. And then the city selected Google and Earthlink to basically win this bid. And what that means is that now, if the network happens, it's going to happen through Google and Earthlink, pending the contract. And I definitely don't speak legalese, but Stephen can field those questions. I'm going to make you do it. And we're up to June. So in June, they began negotiating the contract. Right now, they're still negotiating the contract with Earthlink. So it's important to note that the city will have a contract with Earthlink, and Google has a contract with Earthlink. Google does not have the contract with the city. So we're basically negotiating with Earthlink and saying, hey, we're basically going to buy all of this bandwidth and give it away for free. Earthlink has a contract with the city. And that contract hasn't quite been finalized yet, but that's what the Board of Supervisors will be voting on in the coming months. We anticipate December or January. Yes, sir?
Will there be additional advertising on the sign on or when you connect?
Okay, so additional advertising, there will not. Your user experience when you're signing on, logging on to that free service will just be that landing page. It's a Google landing page, but there aren't ads on it right now. Are you ever going to have to watch like a movie or a video? Speaking from Google's behalf, I'd say no, and that's why we're involved, is to basically front all this money to keep that user experience great. Because otherwise, a free service, I think, would have a lot of ads. So we don't want there to be ads. Where you may see ads are in that map in the center. If you were to search for a word like Mission Pizza, I think at some point in the future, you may then see an ad that comes up. That would be you as a user kind of looking for it. Pretty much the same way Google works right now. Yes, sir.
Are you absolutely sure there's no harm effect at all if it's just 1 or 2 hours away from you on these devices?
I am. So the question, is it harmful at all? And we did extensive research in Mountain View because this is obviously the last thing we'd want to do is hang something up that could be even potentially harmful. So 1 watt of I mean, I was talking to my friend that worked at the radio station. He's like, oh, you guys are only, it's only 1 watt that's coming out, and that's just so minuscule in terms of FM radio signals or cell phone signals or any of this other stuff when you see antennas up on the top of hills, that no, I mean, the FCC says that it's safe and Google feels that it's safe. I can't quote any sources right now, but I've read them all. Go ahead.
I don't know the source, but I've also read the studies. It's the same frequency as your garage door openers and your baby monitors. The power dimension, obviously, they're going to be only about 20 or 30 feet, and the power generated by the nodes that's 15 or 20 feet is 1/400 of that of a cell phone. So, I do have a copy of the study. If you send an email to the address we give you, I can share with you the studies.
So there's not going to be any single tower. There's not going to be any new tower going up by Google. Because I know like Nextel wanted to put up a tower.
Oh, like a single big thing.
They're not going to have any kind of thing. You're just talking about the boxes that you showed us. And
There's a third level. So there is a third level that's the base station. But that's not going to be us constructing an enormous tower up on a hill or anything. There'll just be multiple ones. What we did in Mountain View is we were able to use existing resources. So like we found a football field in Mountain View with a big light on it. And then we just put the antenna up there. Or on the top of Castro Street, which is in Mountain View, we were able to put something there. So they're really small in comparison to anything that you would see. You would think of like a tower. So basically, no, we're not constructing any new enormous thing. So we put up our mission statements here. I think just to take a look at Earthlink's mission statement, anytime, anywhere, Earthlink connects people to the power and possibilities of the internet. So Earthlink, as many people in the room know, is an internet service provider. What you may not know is that Earthlink's been so involved in unwiring cities and in building Wi-Fi networks over the past years. So they've done one in Anaheim and in Pittsburgh. And I'm sure there's a couple of others that we can name as well. I think those are the bigger ones. So we're excited to have them on board because they're pretty used to supporting these types of networks. From Google's perspective, our mission is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. So that aspect of being universally accessible and useful is pretty exciting for us. And when we heard there was a network here, we thought, great, is there any way to give that away for free? And that was really the core mission. And that came kind of from Larry Page. He said, I'm a bit on this. We really want to try and give this away for free. An exciting story for me that when I talk to Steven is the Earthlink will go to other cities and they'll say, no, we want Google involved, or we want it to be free. And Steven has to say, well, you can talk to Google, but we really don't plan on going out into other markets. Google is a company. We're not really in this to quote unquote make a buck or show anybody a lot of ads. This isn't our business model. It's just because we're here, we're in the community, and so many of us live in the city. And every day I sit and I wait for a bus, and I'd love to just have the internet on my lap as I just sit there with a laptop. So pretty exciting. When all said and done, this network would be the biggest. So the biggest free network in the world is what we're anticipating. And that's pretty exciting as well. So on our last slide here, if you want to take notes, this is a website and an email address. So if you have any questions, you can send emails. The website, we're going to keep updated regarding our progress, where we're at in the process. Right now, if you visit it, it'll show all of our community trainings if you want to attend another one or recommend that you friend attend one. Yes?
And so can I just add on to the dialogue with the Board of Supervisors? And if you do want Wi-Fi, I would also encourage you to email all the members of the Board of Supervisors. Some of my colleagues believe that the city can do a better job providing free Wi-Fi, and so they are trying to push for a study, whereas, you know, I think Google and Earthlink are here, you know, they're willing to do it, it's not going to cost the city anything, and so these are kind of the stumbling blocks potentially at the Board of Supervisors, just to let you guys know kind of what's brewing on the board.
Thank you so much. And then one other thing that I would point out, we have a gentleman in the back here, Michael, and he's from this company, you both are, right? I'm sorry. So they're from a company that's called TechConnect, and they're basically involved in getting people online, educating the community, trying to find people that might not have resources to get online, and so we've been really excited to meet with them. Did you want to just say a couple words?
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can come on up.
And then come on down. Anyway, as Chris said, I actually do some community technology projects where I'm helping places in the Western Addition get online. But I'm here as actually a representative of the city's task force, the Digital Inclusion Task Force, hosted by the city. And there are 15 members. I'm a member, and Sydney in the back there is also a member. And I'm just going to speak a few minutes about what we're doing and hand this out to you guys.
Pass it around.
Anyway, we are a digital inclusion task force, and we're a volunteer, 15 volunteers from San Francisco, whose mission is to sort of help share with the city our ideas about how we can use this network for the whole city. As Chris has mentioned, and Steve mentioned, there's a lot of stuff about before the network, and we're very interested in what do we do with the network. And I'm here just to tell you, first of all, about our meetings. We have monthly meetings, and there's information on those handouts about where the meetings are. Our next meeting is going to be 2 weeks, I believe, and the topic has always changed. The next topic is going to be about assistive technology. Does anyone know what assistive technology is? Great. What that means is, we all use the same mouse, but we all have different bodies. And let's say you can't use a mouse well, the traditional mouse might not work for you. So assistive technology provides different devices that allows people with different abilities to use computers. Let's say your monitor, traditional monitors might be too small, but there are larger monitors if you have bad eyes, if your eyes can't see that well. There's also voice recognition software that'll read the internet for you. Have you ever heard that? Something called JAWS? Anyway. So assistive technology, it allows folks with different abilities, disabilities, to use computers and technology. And next week, we're having our meeting, and we're going to talk about that. And some of the things I'm so excited about is, how do we get low-income families online? And how do we get computers in people's homes? That's a big question. And the city sort of trying to figure out how to do that. The city is talking about doing a computer loan program, where you get low-interest loans to buy computers. There's also opportunities with Goodwill, where Goodwill will sell you a refurbished computer for about $100. Let's see. So, just write notes here. So, and once again, training. Training is very important. As Chris talked about, Google is doing their own sort of training. There are also a lot of community organizations here in the Sunset Beacon Center. Does anyone know about the Sunset Beacon Center? One, two. Anyway, they're,
Forty-six.
Thank you, right there. And they provide technology training support for teenagers and people in the neighborhood. Those types of places are the places where a lot of people are going to be going for to get technology support for this project. And the city is negotiating with Earthling to develop a fund that will support some of these projects. I'm not sure how much Earthling is going to be contributing, but there's going to be some money available for digital technology, digital inclusion projects. Sydney, do you want to add a few things? Yeah.
Okay, so you heard all of this. My name is Sydney Levy, and I'm also the task force. And you heard all of these wonderful things about the wireless and all of the things that are going to be the antennas in here, and which is great. And our concern is that people that don't have access to either computers or training on how to use it or technical support about how to repair them, then what you have is a lot of things happening up in the air, but you have no way to catch them. You have no way to really get into the internet. So that's basically what we're trying to figure out, is how to have the actual programs in the city that will make that happen so that everyone will be able to catch, get a hold of the internet, and not just those that have access today. So the same way that Supervisor Matt talked about the fact that there are politics in the city, what I would recommend is that if you, unfortunately, I don't have the website in here, maybe you remember it, there is a document that already exists in the city that's a draft document about how can we achieve digital inclusion. And it was put together together in conjunction with this task force. It's a 20-page document about different things that we recommend or that actually the city, you know, is thinking about doing on digital inclusion. And I recommend that if you have the time to read it, and certainly if you have the time to then go to your supervisor or send them an email and say, I support digital inclusion. I support the fact that everyone should be able to have access to the internet, and not only that those that do have access to computers, then that will help us, because this is a long project. It goes even beyond the timeline that appears in here about putting the antennas and creating a network. We are talking about a project whereby over a number of years, we hope that everyone in the city will literally have access to the computers and the training and the technology so that they themselves, you yourself, will have access.
The website's sfgov.org/techconnect, T-E-C-H-C-O-N-N-E-C-T. No one's writing that down.
It's not on our sheet.
Not only on our sheet. Sorry?
It's easy.
Yeah. If you have any questions, talk to me afterwards. Because I think it's really, this is really exciting. You know, if you think about the internet as a new form of a library, that's what the city's trying to provide. And, you know, someone just joined our task force from Balboa High School. He was talking about how a lot of the high school students don't have internet at home, which prevents the high school teachers from teaching all they want to teach, because they can't say, do a study on the Civil War and give it to me in 3 days, because you know, some kids can just go online and get all the information. But other kids have to go to maybe a community center or other places. So the real hope is that the city becomes sort of a digital city where people can get all that technology, get all that information as fast as everyone else. Okay? Also, you know, the different communities, we want folks to make sure that seniors are able to get online, different immigrant communities. I think voice over IP, Skype, it's a great opportunity. If you have family who lives overseas, or you have a community center where has a community that lives overseas, you can set up a computer that's just dedicated to people calling that host country for free. Anyway, a lot of great opportunities. So check out the information. You talk to Sydney and I afterwards about more. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Jeff. So with that, I think that's our last slide here. So what I'll do is maybe give those that would like to leave the opportunity to leave. Please take as much food and soda with you as you would like on the way out. And otherwise, I'd be happy to field questions. I know Sydney and Michael in the back to kind of talk about this as well. So feel free to just approach us. Steven's here. Thanks so much.
Oh, sure. This was the best attended by all the communities, right?
It was. This is the best attended session. Thank you so much for coming.